Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you all today? So, before we start, let's go through our ritual. Is there anyone on my left who is new here today? Are you new? Tell us your name and how you got to know about this group.
I'm Florence. Got to know the group from the internet.
Uh-huh.
I was looking for Dharma Talk.
Ah, I see. Okay. Was it through Eventbrite or?
I think so.
Oh.
Cannot remember.
Okay. Welcome. Who else? Anyone else? Has she introduced before? Never. Tell us your name and how you got to know this group.
My name is
Fiona.
I know this group through today.
Second time here. First time you escaped, huh?
I didn't escape. I wasn't found.
Okay, welcome. Let me see on my right. Anyone behind seated? Okay, I think all season parking. Ingrid, have you introduced before? You have.
Yes,
my wife was all right. Okay, good. Jason, good to see you. How have you been? Still fine, huh? Still fine is good. Yeah. So, this morning was over at Taipei Buddhist Center. Samadhi Buddhist Society had a retreat. So Bhante Siha invited me to join them to give a talk, rather guide them in meditation in the morning. And then after that, there was a break. And after the break, there was a bit of an emergency. So I had to rush back to fix it and then came over. So in the morning, when I was about to start my session, then I was told that someone vomited just behind the hall. Yeah. So sometimes when we want to learn practices, we want to do practices, attend talks, yeah. Even just reading Dharma books, obstacles can arise. Yeah. But what are obstacles? Today's topic is about removing obstacles in our spiritual practices. What is today's date? 17th of March. So first of all, we need to understand what we mean by obstacles. Yeah. So today's sharing is on removing obstacles. So what kind of obstacles qualify? What qualifies as obstacles? What don't qualify as obstacles? The first thing we need to know is, before we talk about obstacles, we need to consider that from A to B, if there's a path that allows us to go from A to B, yeah, that which enable us to go from A to B is known as the path. Yeah. Tao. So, 于此相违，名字为障. So, that which obstruct, yeah. That which obstructs this is considered an obstacle. Yeah. So, when we talk about obstacles, there's always, first and foremost, a destination to consider. There must be a destination before we can talk about obstacles. That means an end goal. And that end goal must inevitably be different from the current state. Yeah? Or sometimes it's the same state, meaning that you want to remain the same. Yeah? But unfortunately, something is causing you to change. So in which case, if another thing prevents you from changing, but you want to change, then that is an obstacle to change. If you want to maintain status quo, but something causes you to change, then that is an obstacle. Okay? Mm. So, in terms of obstacles and destination, or we can also say goal, it can be worldly, it can be spiritual. Yeah, it can be applied to anything. Mm. So today we're going to focus on the spiritual path. So every week we recite this dedication, Yuan Xiao San Zhang Zhu Fan Nao. You all remember? Yeah. There are three kinds of obstacles that is taught in the text. Yeah. Three kinds of obstacles. San Zhang. What are these three obstacles? Firstly, the obstacle of defilement. Secondly, the defilement or the obstacle of karma. And thirdly, the obstacle of fruit. Yeah, or rebirth. Yeah. So when every week we recite Yuan Xiao San Zhang, yeah, we are talking about these three categories. Yeah, it's not three obstacles actually, it's three categories of obstacles. Yeah. So these three are linked in that it is through defilements that give rise to our actions, yeah, that is defiled, that is driven by defilements, and then because of karma, our actions, then it produces results, yeah, or rebirth, yeah, that is that serve as an obstacle to our practices. Mm. So they are linked in this way. So, defilements, what are defilements? Defilements can be grouped into, firstly, greed, hatred, and delusion, tan sen si, and then further, man. pride, yi, doubt, and erjian, wrong views. Yeah, 贪嗔痴慢疑二见. So these are the three poisons and the six primary or fundamental defilements. Yeah. And because of these defilements, then when defilements arise, it clouds our minds. Yeah. Also known as huo. Yeah. It confuses our mind. We cannot think straight. Mm. Think of a time when we are angry, can we think straight? Mm. Cannot. We can think, but not straight. Yeah. We think why. Yeah. When we are, we have greed, we have hatred. Likewise, when we are angry, can we think properly? We can think. Sometimes we think very quickly when we are angry. Yeah. And we may act. We may act hastily when we are angry. Yeah. When we have anger, we have greed, we act very hastily. That's how they get you to buy, buy, buy. Yeah. Mm. And then under hatred is also fear. Yeah. Under the umbrella of aversion or hatred is also fear. So that's how con people get us. Con artists get us to make rash decision. Yeah, they tell you this and that, strike fear in you, or elicit your greed. Yeah, tell you something good. Yeah, you can get, then, or you quickly send them $20. $20, no big deal, huh? Right now. But if they can do this to 100,000 person. Wow, then that's a lot of money, huh? Mm. Delusion, of course, goes without saying. Yeah? Causes us to see things unclearly. So, the rest, likewise, all the different kinds of secondary defilements. Yeah? From this, these are the primary defilements. Then this gives rise to secondary defilements. And all this together can cause us to be in a state where we will make choices. We will choose not to learn Dharma. Or even if we choose to learn Dharma, we are not able to receive the teachings. Yeah? We will misinterpret the teachings. We cannot understand the teachings. Yeah? And even though beforehand we think, I want to practice, I want to learn Dharma. But when greed, hatred, and all delusion arise, then we may think otherwise. We may decide against it. Yeah. Then we may decide, oh, I want to do something else. Yeah. So, first category, defilements. Second category, karma.
What is
yes?
Doubt included in defilements?
Yes. Doubt is included in defilements. Yeah, it is a state of, it is a default state of the mind. Yeah, doubt is considered a defilement because it causes the mind to become impure. Impure in the sense that it is not able to be recipient of the teachings of the truth.
Yeah.
This is how your new generation always hear. Yeah, ehipasiko doesn't mean go and doubt the teaching. Ehipasiko literally means come and see for yourself. Come and see for yourself doesn't mean that you must go and doubt the teachings, then you can see. Yeah. Ehipasiko means come and examine it for yourself. Mm. Doubt is a defilement. The key thing is what you do with that doubt. Do you then just stay there and not move? Yeah. Or when you have doubt, do you act upon it to clarify? Yeah, it's very important what you do as a result. Yeah. Got it? So next is karma. Karma is our actions. I will be going through very briefly and very quickly because these are just the obstacles. Today we are going through how what to do to overcome them. So karma, our actions, broadly speaking, any actions driven by defilements then will become an obstacle. But the Buddha listed 10 different types, the 10 unwholesome deeds. Yeah? 3 bodily, 4 verbal, and 3 mental. For more information, refer to past recordings. Yeah, it's explained before. Basically, the kind of bodily, verbal, and mental actions that is harmful, yeah, that is driven in by the defilements to harm others. Yeah, the gist of it is that. Now, in terms of karma, then there may be high severity and low severity. Yeah, some karma is more severe, and it such as the 5 heinous deeds. Yeah, sa fu sa mu sa lo han chu fo sen xue po he he sen. These 5: killing of father, mother, killing of an arahant, harming of a Buddha, and breaking up of a sangha. Yeah, the assembly of monks and nuns that is in harmony. Yeah, if you do any of this, heavy karma, very heavy karma. If you do any of this, it directly obstructs your learning of the teachings in this life. Yeah, don't have to wait until next life. That is to say, anything in a similar direction can cause an obstacle also. Yeah, we'll come back to this a bit more later on. The last one is the fruit of our actions, yeah, or the rebirth. So after we do things, yeah, our actions, it produces results. Those results may cause us to be reborn in the lower realms, then that directly prevents us from learning the teachings and practicing. Or it may result in rebirth in the heavenly realm, where it can be non-conducive as well. Or it may result in rebirth in the human realm, where the conditions for learning and practicing is insufficient. Yeah. We will not be going through detail today as well, because we have covered San Zhang many months ago. Yeah. But why is Sifu not covering in detail today? Because this is for you all here today. The fact that you are here today, that means your defilements didn't stop you from coming. You didn't take any actions that prevented you from coming today. Your rebirth, you are not born as anybody here who is an animal, as from spirit realm, yeah, San Hu Jing, yeah, Zi Zhu Jing, anyone, or Se Jing, no, anyone from heavenly realm, from ghost realm, anyone? No. So all of you are from human birth and born in Singapore. Singapore is not considered outskirt. Yeah, Singapore, although it's far away from India, but unless you really close your eyes, otherwise there are so much Buddhist centers in Singapore. Yeah. If you just ask around, you will definitely find. Or like our sister, you just search on the internet. Yeah, you don't even need to have someone introduce you. Just ask Google, where are Dharma talks? Where are Buddhist talks? Okay, you find. Yeah, very simple. So, in that case, then, why are we going through this talk? Since none of you are having obstacles. Still, there's obstacles. Yeah. So today, well, for today, you all may not have obstacles. But other days, maybe we have obstacles. So how do we overcome these different types of obstacles? First and foremost, if we go down into the three, there are some subtle mental factors, like for example, earlier on, Marcel asked about doubt. For many people, when we start to have doubt, it becomes an obstacle. Either you doubt the teaching, or you doubt the teacher, or you doubt yourself, then you cannot learn. And that's why it's an obstacle, it's a defilement. But sometimes it may not be so clear. If it's very clear, not so difficult. Just go and clarify. If you have doubt about the teachings, just clarify. If you have doubt about the teacher, just clarify. Maybe you think, why I learn from Sifu? Sifu don't look like he's enlightened. Maybe I clarify. Just clarify, lah. Sifu will just tell you, not enlightened. No more doubt. You don't have to have doubt. Just clarify once and for all. That's very simple. Then maybe you have doubt about yourself. Don't have to have doubt. Why should you have doubt? Can I learn this or not? What are you afraid of? You are afraid that you are Hu Li Jing, you are a Zhu Zhu Jing. You should know yourself. Are you human being? Do you all know whether you are human being? You know, right? Very simple. Today I want to highlight a few things. In case if you find that after today's lesson you are still not so clear, or maybe in the past many times whenever you want to learn Dharma you have difficulties, then in Buddhism, in Chinese Mahayana Buddhism, we have a step called repentance. Repentance. Repent what? Mainly past actions. Or present day mindset. The attitude, the mindset. So in the Buddhist tradition, we say that even very subtle actions can become an obstacle for us to learn and practice the Dharma. For example, maybe through our speech, through our actions, body speech, and maybe even mind, we may have said something to discourage people from learning Dharma. Something very, very trivial, like, let's say someone asks, "Hey, want to go for a retreat? Don't go lah. Go for what?" Maybe now we don't say that, but maybe in the past, before we are really, before we see the benefit, maybe we ever say something like that. Have you all said something like that before? Maybe yes, maybe no. If you have, you must know that such speech, maybe that person listened, maybe at that moment didn't act upon it, but it leave an impression. And maybe 10% tell that same person, "I'll go for what?" Then because of the 10% together, all the messages together, the person decides, "I might as well not go." So while we are not solely responsible, we are partially responsible as well. So that seed planted in that person, then the person after that maybe have an opportunity to learn the Dharma and be free of suffering. Maybe not completely enlightened, but partially. But as a result of our our nice words, then the person decided not to attend. And maybe that impact lasts for 3 years. For 3 years, the person miss out the opportunity. Because we must know that even though we are reborn in Singapore as a human being with full faculties, even though Buddhism in Singapore is one of the major religions, for many people, I said earlier, unless you are really hiding somewhere, very easy to find. But at the same time, before the conditions are right, you'd be surprised, some people can actually have difficulty finding Dharma as well. Yeah. So by the time the person have the opportunity to encounter Dharma, and if because of our words, or our behavior, it discourage the person, then as a result the person missed that window of opportunity. It may be another 5 years, maybe another 10 years. I have some students who share with me, the last time they attended a talk was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago. Some students, because when they were younger, they were very energetic in learning. Then when they have children, they are busy, and before you know it, their children is 20 years old, it's already 20 years later. So, sometimes we have to be cautious with what we say. If there's any, if let's say, for example, orange juice. Maybe we have a bad experience with orange juice. We drink one mouth of orange juice, we lousy for 3 days. Not denying that you lousy for 3 days. You have diarrhea for 3 days. But is it then okay to tell people not to drink orange juice? I have to be careful. Because if we tell people not to drink orange juice, maybe they listen, maybe they don't listen. And even if they don't drink orange juice, maybe they eat orange. Maybe they eat vegetables. Correct or not? But if we were to directly or indirectly discourage others, any talks, any programs, I'm not saying just Sifu Suan, others, go and tell them, don't attend. No. Anyone, no. Anyone have to be cautious. So this is the first category, where we consciously tell people not to go and attend. Or second category would be indirectly. Maybe we take orange juice and we have diarrhea, but we don't tell people not to drink. But we tell everybody, I drink orange juice, then I have diarrhea. Or we tell people, we go to the shop, and maybe for some reason we have a bad experience with the shop store owner. Then we tell everybody, that store, the boss, horrible. So when we do that, then maybe people don't go to the store. But sometimes maybe the bad experience is we are partially involved. So directly or indirectly, we may cause people to not learn Dharma. So do repentance. So the repentance maybe is in the past life, maybe it's this life. How to do the repentance? One way is using a standard verse. Standard verses. Or two is using personal verse. So standard verses is what we usually use as a group. Wang si so zao zhu er ye, jie you wu shi tan shen shi, and so on. I will explain to you later. Okay, that's the standard verse. I feel that the standard verses is useful because it covers all bases. Wang si suo zao zuo ye. So you start off reflecting and you say, for all the various kind of evil and wholesome deeds that you have done in the past, 皆由无始贪嗔痴, they are all arising from beginningless greed, hatred, and delusion. 从身语意之所生, arising from body, speech, and mind. 今对佛前求忏悔, I hereby repent to the Buddha, in front of the Buddha. So, this is a standard verse. So I want you all to now take a deep breath. So maybe I should go back and highlight something. How do you know whether we have obstacle? Sometimes maybe we are moody, we are unhappy, then we don't go for class. But sometimes none of this happens. We still go. But in the midst of the class, somehow, we find that our eyes are just very heavy. We just cannot open our eyes. It's like jet lag, very severe jet lag. But yesterday you slept at 10:30, this morning you wake up at 9 o'clock, then you have a lot of rest, and your health is okay. But somehow when the moment you sit down, you just find yourself like in a very severe, can someone help her? open your eyes, open your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Then the moment the class is over, 精神百倍. It can happen, When I was much younger in secondary school, I've shared this before, when my mom played Jing Gang Jing, I will feel very utsut, very uneasy. Don't know why. But over the years, it changed. I seldom have problems with dozing off in class. But in the past, there was a short period where it happened. Very strange. Sometimes we may feel that, because the talk is boring. No, it's actually not, It's actually the obstacle. Standard verses. Then personal verse is you using your own words. So recently I shared this with a student. To begin, before you even do repentance, you must ask yourself, do you see anything good about the destination, about the goal? In this case, it is about learning Dharma. Do you see anything advantageous about it? Is there merit in it? In other words, is there value in it? This sometimes feels a bit strange. If you think about it, not all small kids can see the value of studying, isn't it? You see, she is so happy. This part she agreed, yes. I don't see the value, really don't see the value. But cannot be helped, small kids, isn't it? But now we have a very interesting situation. We recognize that sometimes we have obstacles. We also recognize that maybe it's due to our actions, our mindset. And we also want to do repentance. But if we don't see value in the destination, in the goal, if we don't see value and merit in the path or the goal, these two, then our repentance is flawed. You know what I mean? If you don't see value in, let's say, meditation. Then, on one hand, you inside, deep down inside, you don't see value. But because everybody do practice, you also feel like you should do practice, but you cannot bring yourself to do the practice. So you think, maybe I go and do repentance. It can also have some effect. But a more direct effect is to recognize that we don't see the value. Is to see that we don't see the value. Because if you don't recognize this, your repentance, what are you going to repent about? Yeah, what is there to repent? Nothing to repent about. Yeah, you may even repent halfway, feel like, you know what? I tell people not to go, it makes sense, what? There's no value in it. You know what I mean? For us to say something to stop people from going for this program or that program, yeah, or we ourselves in the past resisting, not wanting to attend, it must stem from not seeing merit or value in it. Yeah. So the first and foremost thing in doing repentance is to recognize that mindset is wrong. To see that there is value in the path and in the destination, the goal, in whatever practices there is. Yeah. Maybe we are someone who like to observe precepts. Yeah. Anytime there's precepts, you go and attend. But when you go for a retreat, then you feel so twisted. You feel so, you have a struggle. Because on one hand, well, when they say observe eight precepts, wow, you're so delightful. Then after that, ask you to do chanting, you don't want. Yeah? Or maybe you like meditation, but you go for some retreat, there's meditation, and then there's chanting also. Then you chanting, you feel, then meditation, yeah. Yeah. So unless you sort it out, otherwise your repentance, how to repent? Yeah. Or it could be the other way around. Maybe some of us like to do chanting, but we don't like to do the practices. Yeah. Meditation or learning Dharma. So when there's chanting, wow, so delightful, you almost feel like you are floating up. Then after that, when we finish, then we say, sit. Then you... Yeah? Or when the Sifu start to give teachings, then you chant, I'm so happy, then after give teaching. Yeah? Or you immediately go toilet. Yeah? You go toilet, you go somewhere else. Then when it's time for chanting, you come back. Namo. So happy. Inevitably, we have our own personal preferences, yeah. Or maybe we may feel like we like to do dana, yeah. Dana, who doesn't want like to do? Some people don't like, but most people like. Dana is very easy. I can tell you, dana is the easiest, yeah. Simplest, yeah. You just go to the counter, take out a speck, dana already, yeah. You pull your hair, give. Yeah, who cannot give? Yeah, giving is the easiest, the most fundamental and common in all the different religion, worldly practices found everywhere. Yeah, it's not a bad practice, but if we indulge in that, yeah, and allow ourselves to be averse to the other practice, watch out, because it will become an obstacle for your future. Yeah. Because then, every time whenever there's the opportunity for other practices, you know what is the scariest thing? The scariest thing is not when you consciously decide you don't want to go. It is when, in future, once you keep on planting this kind of seed, yeah. Sometimes when there's an opportunity to attend, you choose not to attend, yeah, out of defilements, not happy. Greed, hatred, whatever, yeah. Or when you attend, your heart is not there. Yeah, you keep doing this, doing that, doing everything else. Even though you're present, you're planting karma, new seeds. Yeah, have to be careful. So, what happened? in future when there's opportunity, and you also start to see the value. But somehow, things keep on happening. Aha, this is the ripening. What things can happen? Maybe your work becomes so successful, become an obstacle for you. Doesn't mean that all successful people will have obstacle. Yeah? But if you are not careful, your work can become an obstacle. Yeah? Then you want to, at that point in time, you want to attend, but your work keep on telling you, come, come, I need your attention, you need to come and deal with this. Yeah. Or maybe your work you settle. Yeah. Or maybe at that point in time your right mindfulness, your mindset is correct. You say, never mind, work can wait. But what happened? Your health. Yeah. If your health is affected, then how? Can happen, you know? You want to practice, by the time you want to practice, you think, oh, I settled this, then I practice, I settled that, then I practice. By the time you settle everything, your health gives you a problem. You cannot practice also. Yeah. So, before we do standard verses, or we do personal verses, good to settle our mindset. In a way, our mindset you must settle first. Yeah. You may think, but Sufu, I don't consciously have resistance towards any of the practices. Well, for a start, we should look at all the different practices, jie ting hui, yeah, and to do a general review, yeah, and to learn what is the benefit of all of them. Repentance doesn't mean just kneel down there and kaptao, kaptao, kaptao. Repentance, first and foremost, involves a change in our mindset. Yeah. We may not actively have an attitude or mindset towards practice A or practice B or practice C. Yeah. But to do a review so that we make sure that your mindset is correct. Yeah. Or refuge in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha to do a review. Yeah. When we say take refuge in the Buddha, to take refuge in all the Buddhas, yeah, from the past to the future and the present. When we take refuge in the Dhamma, all the Dhamma, all the teachings from all the different lineages in the different practices, we take refuge in them. Yeah. We don't say, oh, this one I prefer, that one I don't prefer, so that one I don't care, that one I tell people not to go and attend. Unless you know clearly, that is actually fake Dhamma. Huh? Sometimes nowadays there's a lot of samsai pan Dhamma. Huh? Have to be careful. And lastly, when we take refuge in the Sangha, don't discriminate, saying, oh, from this tradition, then I encourage people to attend. That tradition, I don't encourage. Or only Sifu's class, then I encourage. That Sifu's class, I don't encourage. Or that other Sifu's class, I encourage. Sifu's class, I don't encourage. Either way, no. Yeah. I must be careful. So that day, I shared with this student. Of course, that day I didn't go through with so much details with that student. But I told that very elderly auntie, I said, very simple. Every day when you do your prayers, you just tell Buddha, Buddha, I want to learn Dhamma. I sincerely want to learn Dhamma. Maybe in the past I do something or say something that, you know, that obstruct others or myself from learning Dhamma. I'm sorry. Yeah. From today onward, I want to sincerely learn Dhamma. Please help me to have the conditions to learn Dhamma. Yeah. It can be something as simple as that. Yeah, your personal verses. To really sincerely from inside your heart. Yeah, to make a wish to learn Dhamma. Very simple. Doesn't have to be complicated. Yeah. When you're at home and you're doing the standard verses, you don't have to do the elaborate chanting if you are, if it's not convenient. But sometimes at home, you know, well, suddenly at 10 p.m. you feel like doing chanting, yeah, then you qiao luo da gu, dong 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 dong. Yeah, your whole house all have to wake up. Mm. I want to highlight one more thing. Yeah, just to repeat one last thing. Our speech. What we say, yeah, even cursory remark. Even cursory remark. You know, in the office, yeah, in the office we sometimes like to rant about things, because we belong with the boss, we belong with the company, we are not happy with this, not happy with that, then we same thing, you know. Same thing. The difference is, at work, is there karma? Yeah, there's karma also. You think there's no karma? Doesn't mean that, oh, only in the temple, yeah, when it's against Sifu, then there's karma. Against anyone, there's karma. Yeah. The difference is, if you do it at work, maybe it creates obstacle for you at work. But if you do it in the community, then it directly impedes your learning of Dharma. Yeah. So, there's this saying, those who serve the community have the opportunity to create a lot of wholesome merit, but at the same time have the opportunity to create a lot of very negative karma as well. Yeah. So in particular for those who are volunteering, have to be careful. Not saying that you all cannot have your perception and so on, but must be careful. Yeah. Because, I mean, like all volunteers, look at me. Is there any one of you who is, I mean, some, not everybody here, so not just those who are here, but all those who are volunteers, have you ever passed any complaint remarks? Yes, right? Yes? Yes or not? You must know, no? You pass one comment, then another one share one comment. You must remember, who are you sharing about? Yeah, because anything about the group is about Triple Gem, about Dharma, no? You share, you make a pass a negative comment, you think there's no karma. You better go and do repentance. Yeah. I've been wanting to cover this topic, but many times people don't even turn up. Yeah, but I scheduled this anyway, so whoever turn up lah. Yeah. Because even though we come to the Buddhist group, but we cannot expect all of you to just drop your habits. The trouble is, when you bring those habits to a Buddhist group, the impact is very much greater, you know. Yeah. Yeah, because there's very long-term impact. Yeah. Also, I want you all to think carefully. We can have our, how do I put it? When we are at work, yeah, sometimes we have grouses. What to do? Still, I don't say that it's a good idea, you know. Yeah, even at work, if you are successful, until the boss gonna pull down, then how? the whole company collapsed, then everybody chap luck, go back happy. You know? Yeah. So similarly, yeah, as a group, if we come together, you know, supposed to learn Dharma and then overcome, right? So when we do volunteer work, unhappiness arises, supposed to use Dharma, right? Not use our usual way. Right? In a corporate world, we do this, right? We here, there to get people to side of us and then go in a certain direction, right? But when we come to learn, do Dharma work, don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that. Okay, any questions? Yes.
In voluntary work.
Yes.
Assuming you are a team member, and then you realize that the activity they are supposed to do, there's a better way to do.
Yes.
Are we not supposed to suggest, or we just have to follow instructions blindly?
Oh, that's different from what we are talking about here. If anyone have a suggestion for doing things a better way, by all means, please suggest it. Yeah. So just now when I mentioned about consider the two case, okay? When you observe that certain things are done a certain way, and it's maybe not the best way, and you want to raise a suggestion, when your intent to raise a suggestion, is it to improve the process, to improve the group? Or is it to vent your defilements? Which one is it?
It's just to improve the whole.
Yolo. So it's not the That's what I mentioned about grouses. Grouses is different from when we see something that can be improved and then we bring it up. Good that you bring up the difference. Yeah, otherwise, after this, nobody there to give any feedback. Yeah. Yeah.
What she says is that, I think what she meant is that if the thing is going on and then we think that we have a better idea, and then if you voice it out, the person who's in charge may not be happy.
Oh, is that what she was saying?
So
let's settle one possibility at a time. So her original question was, should we then not raise it up? My point is, yes, you should raise it up. Then two is, if you raise it up, it may cause people to be unhappy. Yes and no. Yeah. The question is, why is the person unhappy? To me, that is the more important question. So insist is attachment, ma. Yeah. The interesting thing is that when it comes to deciding what is the best, this is a topic that I thought of having as well. How to have a reasonable discussion. Like for example, we make a decision A, and before we make that decision, we considered a lot of things. And there are maybe three considerations that give us the reason to conclude that A is the choice. Now, a reasonable discourse would be whoever disagrees with decision A should be able to bring out counterpoints that refute the three points that support decision A. Now, this is being reasonable. And the person who come up with decision A, or the team that supports decision A, upon seeing that their argument or their supporting reasons, 1, 2, 3, seeing that is clearly refuted, should then concede that maybe that's the case, then we should consider other options. Unless there are further counter towards the counter. Now, at this point, most Singaporeans are so complicated. Yeah. This is actually something I want to impress upon all of you. It is our inability or our it is more a matter of our discomfort level towards having complex discussion more than that this kind of things cannot be solved. But our tendency is the moment people go into some detail, I find that a lot of people, they just break down emotionally. Yeah. And as a result, they cannot continue with the discussion. Yeah. They will feel like the other person, but that is not always the case, you know. Because if you are trying to have a adult, reasonable discussion, then this is the way to approach. Yeah. So the question is, if we have something to raise up, it may lead in this direction. It may also lead in the other direction where people hear your options and they find that, okay, that's pretty okay, we can adopt. So there are many factors. That's why I say yes or no. Yeah. Perhaps a very important point to highlight is if it's an ongoing event, even as we suggest, and even if the team were to accept it, they may not be able to immediately put it in place. Yeah. But there should be effort in the team to consider and take note of the suggestion to effect a change in future. So I feel that either case, we should still suggest. Yeah. And if the team find that it cannot be done immediately, then at least note down for future consideration. Yeah, I saw your point. I don't agree with your point.
I know that solves most problems normally.
Yeah, I know this is your first time here, but better to let you have it on the first day. Yeah, you must know that this sifu is like that. Yeah, I will not just agree to make you feel good. Yeah, but it's not meant to make you feel bad also. It just so happened that I don't agree with your stand. And it's not so much your stand, but this particular approach. The 万事以和为贵 approach. Yeah, in this aspect, I really don't agree with the Chinese culture. Yeah, 万事以和为贵. This is not Buddha's teaching. No. You go and if you can find a sutra reference, I'd be happy to sit down and have a discussion. Because if the Buddha's approach is 万事以和为贵, I can tell you 20-30% of the teachings is gone. Because most of the suttas is about his very back and forth discussion with the other schools. The Buddha don't just back down from a discussion because the fellow was upset, you know. The Buddha don't get upset. His aim is not to get people upset also, but he don't just so sorry, yeah. Buddha, can you give me answer? No. But we are all different. So of course we will take different approaches. But if you were to ask me, the reason it's important for me to explain to not just you but for everybody why I don't like this approach. The reason why I don't like this approach is because most people, when we don't bring it up, we bring up anyway. We bring up to other people. Unless we really don't bring it up and bring it to the grave, and don't even write a blog, write a post, and we really seal it shut. Yeah, and in fact, go back, hit ourselves on the wall, and we forget about it altogether. Not you in particular, but anybody. The trouble is most of us, if we feel strong enough to have an opinion, and yet don't say it out, we all get very concord. So what happened? During the break, it's whooping, you know, that one. Don't know why the team do it this way. Then maybe Zhou Ping will say, oh, it's okay, I can also go and tell. No, don't say. But why? Cannot. Sifu say, can say. No. Then after, if that's it, then it will plant a seed in Zhou Ping. Zhou Ping will be like, Jialat, should I say, should I not say? You know? And then the worst thing is, such a person, tell Zhou Ping, then tell Zhou Ping, don't say. Then after that, another toilet break, hey, Biling, I tell you something. Then Biling, like that, I can go and tell, I know that person. No, don't say. Yeah, so in the end, many times in the corporate world, in Buddhist organization, everywhere, this is what's happening, you know. To that person, don't say, but it say to the whole world. If that's the case, may as well say, right? Yeah. But even when you say, again I must highlight, don't expect that people must listen to you and accept your stand. You have a right to say, but people have a right to decide, ma. Then that's called mature feedback discussion. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Yes.
So I have two things to ask about.
Yes.
First of all, just now you mentioned that doubt is a defilement.
Yes.
So hence, right, if let's say we have doubt about something for a very long time, like maybe because we are not confident about, particularly you say let's not use the example of meditation or chanting, if I, for many years, if we still have doubt, even no matter how many times we repent, then should we be impatient and say,
thanks for highlighting. So perhaps it's important to know, take a sip. Yeah, that when we have doubt, the remedial action is to seek clarification. But when we seek clarification, it's also very crucial to find the right person. Don't find someone who have more doubts than you, or have equal doubts as you. Yeah, two blind men lead together go down the cliff. Yeah. Look for someone who is more knowledgeable on the subject matter. Yeah. Don't look for people who are not practicing, doing that practice well. Don't pay attention to people who are not practicing it well or who are not expert in that area. Yeah. If you keep paying attention, let's say meditation, okay? And then you are having doubt whether meditation is good for you. Then you keep looking at people who don't know how to meditate. Then you create more doubt. So instead, look towards those who are adept at meditation. Sit down there, very steady. Likewise for Dharma teachings, associate with those who are adept in the teachings, who can clarify your doubts. Then you can progress. Okay?
And then the second question was about the Christ Church Mother thing.
The what?
The Christ Church Mother.
Oh. Mm.
So I was at first when I saw, the very first thing when the shootings happened, at the time the suspect wasn't caught, I'm like, okay, just maybe do a bit. After yesterday's trial case, you know, when the suspect still gave the white supremacy sign, all that, I started to notice anger again. I'm like, how come like that? How to really empathize for this person who killed Muslims? How to empathize? So can you think of, I guess that's a way that we can really try not to make this obstacle in this part.
So first and foremost, I think by now most, if not all of you, have heard about the mass murder. There are different people who give it different name. There are those who call it hate crime. There are those who call it an act of terrorism. Whatever name we give it, what we do know is people died. And the family members of those who died are suffering. It may feel like, on one hand, we should dive in and condemn the killer and the killing. And there are those who are maybe, some would say, spiritually more developed, and they say, but the perpetrator is also suffering. If we look at ultimate reality, we are all suffering, ma. Yeah. But then, in terms of the person on trial, hard for most people to see that person as suffering. So first and foremost, if you're not able to immediately see that person having suffering, don't shoehorn yourself to see it yet. Understand? It's just like how when I go for a wake or funeral, I don't tell people, why are you not enlightened yet? You cry for what? But the family member is not enlightened yet. You cannot force them to say, your family member died, so you must act in an enlightened way. Cannot. You know what I mean? In the case of a natural death. And now in this case, to expect ourselves to look upon the killer with the enlightened view, although we are not enlightened yet, not easy. I think it is lofty to try to see it in a certain way, but if we are not able to, don't beat yourself over it. We don't have to beat ourselves over it. I'm going to offer to you my angle and approach. It may or may not make sense to you. Okay? First and foremost, no matter how we look upon the killer, the person has killed individuals. Even if we manage to conclude that the person acted out of defilements, it doesn't absolve the person of those actions. In Buddhism, we don't say, because the person was suffering, so okay lah. It was just 3%. No. Or for that matter, 30. So we must get that out of the way first. Because otherwise, we'll hit a conflict later. Because it seems to be making us, to rationalize for the killer. Remember, when we use the Dharma to look upon the killer, it's not to rationalize the actions, or to justify it, no. So then, besides recognizing the killing, how else can we look upon the killer? My way of looking at it is, anyone who is happy, who is at ease, who is sound-minded, wouldn't wake up one day and decide to kill anybody, for that matter. You know what I mean? For that matter, anyone where things are going well, is happy with what they have, is at peace with themselves and others, wouldn't even wake up in the morning and say, let me go and find someone to quarrel. Much less to find weapons and then to find guns and you know, go around shooting. So this person for sure is not in any way clear-minded, sound-minded, or happy or at peace in any way. It doesn't make the actions right. Yeah, it doesn't. To me, recognizing this is important, it's still important, although it doesn't make it right. Because then we may be able to focus more correctly on the problem itself, which is that it means anyone who wake up in the morning in such a mental state is capable of doing something as horrific as this. And it's not simply because of this or that ideology, but anyone who managed to find themselves in this state. So we need to prevent, to help people see the problem with this mental state. In some cases, certain ideology happen to support such mental states. Then we have to ask ourselves, as much as we say freedom of speech, freedom of thoughts and whatever, do we really want to say, continue to have freedom to think in this way where it leads us to such horrific states of mind that compels individuals to commit such atrocities? Yeah. So, in Buddhism, we don't say, as a result, then the person should be set free, yeah. But rather, the person should, you know, be brought to recognize the problem that he has created, yeah. Otherwise, this is going to just continue without end. To me, the scarier thing is, even as this tragedy has happened, there are many others who don't see this as a problem, who don't see the result as a problem, and who don't see the circumstances leading to the result as a problem. That is a bigger problem. Yeah, because those mindset, those attitude, can continue to fuel new violence. I think the president of some country even passed some remarks that was heavily condemned, yeah, because his side remarks subsequently seem to be like, you know. Yeah. I don't know whether that answers your question. All the what?
All the illusions, like the speech that you say, like give a suggestion that, oh, we will boycott, or we can say don't support, but I think some people in the angle will say, we'll boycott all these extremist groups, then that's when the cycle will climb up. I don't want to explain but that's what I'm going to
do. There are many things that we don't agree with. We don't have to explicitly say that we boycott every single one of them. Yeah. Like many of this group, we don't even know their existence to begin with. So we don't have to explicitly list out, okay, I boycott the following 237 groups. Yeah, we don't have to. To me, saying it is one thing, but to boycott in our body, speech and mind, meaning in our day-to-day interaction with others, to not emulate anything that is in that direction. To me, that's the best way to boycott. Any other questions? If not, we have to wrap up and then prepare for the next lesson. Okay? Put our palms together. 愿消三障诸烦恼 得智慧真明了 普愿罪障悉消除 世世常行菩萨道 阿弥陀佛 起立